Father, thank you again for honoring us with your manifest presence. We can feel it in the air. We can feel it in our hands, in our palms. Thank you. Thank you for the presence of your anointing. We worship and honor you. Lord Jesus Adonai. Lord Holy Spirit. The Lord of hosts. Blessed be your holy name. We enter your word with reverence. I pray for fresh unction so that I will speak as I should. Indeed, as an oracle of God, let your word flow freely from you through me to the people. Let it come and inspire and empower, instruct us, fill our hearts afresh with revelation, cause our wills to be more humble. Lord God, cause our bodies to be strengthened, healed. We pray that, Lord, you will help me to speak with precision, to redeem the time, so I will say only what you want me to say. As a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing out of the treasure of your word things new and old. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And everyone in agreement, receiving every blessing mentioned in their individual life, agreed and said, I have an important message for this hour. When I say this hour, it doesn't mean this exact hour, but this time and season. You follow me in your scriptures to the book of 2 Peter, incidentally. It's also from 2 Peter. It wasn't planned. But now it's chapter 3 and not chapter 2. And we're looking at verses 3 and 4. Peter, speaking prophetically, like I was sharing in the Bible study, you are, as you get more and more anointed, and you grow in the things of the Spirit, even your ordinary talking will be prophetic. It comes, it's a package. And so you see Jesus, the Lord Jesus first, then followed by the early apostles, James and Peter, John, Paul. You see them preaching and teaching prophetically. And that's why all the scriptures they wrote were prophetic. At the time they were writing the scriptures, a lot of them even didn't realize they were writing scripture. They knew it was inspired, but they didn't know it was going to become scripture. They were just writing letters to encourage and strengthen the brethren. It was after, as it was coming forth, that they began to realize that this is prophetic. This is God, you know, and God honored them by bringing all these books together into the canon of scripture. So Peter, speaking prophetically about the end time, which is the time we're in now, says this. You read after me. Say, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. I bring you a prophetic present day word, and I title it, where is the promise of his coming? For the last 100 years, really, about, there has been prophetic proclamations of the coming of the Lord in the church in his perfection and fullness. Many of the great fathers, and they all are asleep now. By asleep we mean they have died and they've gone on to heaven. old Smith Wigglesworth gave a prophetic word in Australia. I believe the year was 1927, which is just 90 years ago. You know, it'll be 91 years this year. And he said, and Wigglesworth had a great prophetic apostolic anointing on him. As far as I know, there were recorded 14 people that he raised from the dead. My pastor, Bernard Porter, and his wife, Ida Porter, who is still alive, incidentally. She even gave me a call over Christmas. You know, I need to call her back. You know, I saw the missed call, and you know, I happened to call her back. Miss Porter is over 100. She was 100 in June. And they had the privilege of hosting old Wigglesworth in their home and in their church. This was back in the 1930s and 1940s, long before we came around. And old Wigglesworth said this, raised 14 people from the dead. Wonderful miracles, wonderful manifestation of power. But Wigglesworth had the right balance. He was also a stickler for the word. He was a man who taught and preached God's word. You know, they tell us that he would speak like an Oxford professor. This was a man who didn't go to school. He was a plumber. He didn't go to school. He spoke English with a funny accent. He came from a place called Bradford. You say, "Wutsu," instead of "What's up?" That's how he speaks naturally. But when the anointing comes, the same Wigglesworth will speak with the diction of a professor from Oxford or Cambridge. So I am told. And old Wigglesworth said this. He said that everything I have done and God has done through me, he said, is a drop in the bucket of what God is going to do through his church before Jesus comes. Wigglesworth came, he died. It's 1947. God raised Kenneth Hagin. Jesus appeared to him many times. And Hagin brought a great prophetic word in 1979, just around the time I got born again. And the summary of it was, you have three sets of people in the church, some get born again and that's where they stop. Others get born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, they speak in tongues, but they let the cares of the world enter, it chokes the word, and they don't go on. He said, but there's a third group that's going to go on, and they will go into the waters of the Spirit. It will go from ankle, it will go to knee, from knee, it will go to the waist, from waist, it will completely cover them, and it will be said of them that those that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Ken Hagin has died. It hasn't happened yet. I'm going somewhere. I'm giving you a prophetic word. For all things remain the same since the fathers fell asleep. Here in Nigeria, locally, you know, although he wasn't local, you know, S.G. Elton. Same prophetic word. But a great end time move. That God was going to bring in Nigeria. And I was going to be championed and had a vanguard of the young people. We were in our 20s then. My wife and I went to Elisha to see Pa and many others. I don't think there's any major ministry in Nigeria today that didn't go to Elisha to go and see Pa Elton. F.W. Kumi, David Oedipo, Pastor Adeboye, everybody, all of us. All younger then, you know, and he would tell us what God had planned for Nigeria and how we were going to be the carriers of this great glory. Like my wife was saying when I was teaching the Bible study, you know, it was this kind of things we used to hear. And we used to, you know, these songs, creating me and you are. We were told, you know, how we had to prepare ourselves and our hearts. Pilton died. It hasn't happened yet. All the fathers fell asleep. And here we are today. Three sets of people are asking this question. Where is the promise of his coming? The world is asking it. in a derogatory kind of way. And the way the world is asking it is recorded by Joel. He said, wherefore should they say, where is their God? Why should the heathen? And then you have the scoffers in the church. These are the ones who are born again. They're not the world, they're not the heathen. But they are also saying, don't mind them. Where is the promise of his coming? Don't mind them. Where is the promise? They have been saying this, they have been, yeah, ever since I became a Christian, I've been hearing about manifestation of the sons of God and the glory of God, you know, and all the fathers, like I said, you know, at least some of the fathers have told us, they're dead. And nothing has happened. And the scoffers are also asking, where is the promise of his coming? And then, there are those of us who believe it, who are also asking inside ourselves, where is the promise of his coming? And I bring you a word from the Lord. The Lord was dealing with me and said, the world is asking, the scoffers are asking, the church is asking, the true church, who wants it and who are believing for it. But they will say, where is the promise of his coming? In our own case, particularly in the last 3 years, from 2015, after the blood moons, everybody's great expectation, the blood moons have happened. The Bible says sun's in the sign in the sun and in the stars. Okay, we knew it wasn't going to be then, but we knew it was going to be shortly, you know, trusting it would be shortly after, you know, the sign in the stars, you know, and then recently distress of nations. Alas, alas, it still hasn't happened yet. So the question is reverberating in the hearts. Where is the promise of his coming? Now, it's very important to understand, I have said this, but I will emphasize it just briefly. The coming we're speaking of is not the rapture yet. The rapture is going to come. Please don't misunderstand me. It's this glory, the perfection and the fullness of Christ being made manifest inside the church that men can see. It is spoken very clearly of in Isaiah chapter 60, where it says, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee, and kings shall come to the brightness of thy rising. They shall see. This is a glory that will be made manifest. These things have not been seen on the earth with any degree of consistency since the days of the Lord Jesus himself and the Old Testament. For instance, we know in the Old Testament that they saw the glory cloud that would come down in the morning. They would see it as a cloud. In the night, they would see it as a fire, a pillar of fire. And they saw it. And there were times in the Old Testament, even after the wilderness experience, there were, you know, you would have times. For example, Elijah prayed and fire came from heaven. Everybody saw it. Solomon, when he dedicated the temple, he prayed and fire fell from heaven. Everybody, they saw it. It wasn't that they were trying to perceive it. They actually saw it. And as the priests were ministering in Solomon's temple in the Feast of Tabernacles in the seventh month, the Bible tells us that they were as one, and the glory, this is the presence of God like a cloud, it says it filled the temple, and the priest could not stand to minister, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Hallelujah. But we have not seen it since. This is the promise of his coming. This is the promise of which I'm talking. So the question comes to us. The question comes to the scoffers. The question comes to the heathen. Where is the promise of his coming? And the Lord said, I want you to go and encourage the people. That's part of the prophetic ministry. I want you to encourage them. And he gave me an answer that is so simple. And I said, Lord, how profound is your word? He said, they're asking where is the promise of his coming. Well, it hasn't come fully out here, but I can tell you where the promise of his coming is. Very simply, the promise of his coming is in you, and is inside his word. Turn with me in the scriptures to Colossians chapter 1. Very familiar scripture, and we're looking at verses 27 and 28 of the book of Colossians. This is Paul again teaching prophetically. Say, to whom? I didn't hear you. God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Everybody say glory. 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 What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations? The word Gentiles just means nations. Which is what? Christ where? In you the hope of glory. Verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man. Like I was doing during the Bible study today. Teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present what? Every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So, there is a coming inside us. So, anytime Satan tries to make you doubt, or say, this thing is not true, don't mind them. I've been saying this thing, the fathers have fallen asleep. Just look inside. I got another scripture for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. This is a message of encouragement. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And look at verse 5. This, for me, Olubi Johnson personally, and I think this should be true for everybody too, this has kept me and is still keeping me through the years. As I have preached and taught on these truths. And this is what it says. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you? Except you are reprobates. And I trust we're not reprobates. Hello? So you look inside. He hasn't come on the outside fully yet, but you can see his coming on your inside. And that's what keeps you going. Let me paraphrase that. You should see his coming inside you, and that is what should keep you going. So what do you see? You see more love. You see more joy. You see more peace. You see more gentleness, you see more kindness, you see more revelation, you see more wisdom, so you know he's coming. So when they ask you, or when the devil asks you, where is the promise of his coming? Tell him, in me. That's the answer. Where is the promise of his coming? In me. I'm not a reprobate. Christ is in me, and I see him coming in me. For the kingdom of God, he does not come without observation. It's first of all within. That's the answer. That's the answer. The second place we look is in the word. We look inside ourselves, then we look inside the word. There are some promises inside the Bible. There are many. But there are some promises that will make you stagger. But there's nothing you can do about them. When these questions come, open the word again and go to them, that speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up into him in all things. That is an unambiguous scripture, that the scripture cannot be broken, that you can put your life on.
Amen.
It will happen.
Amen.
It is written. Hallelujah. Luke 6:40, he says, when every man is perfect, he said, he will be as his master. John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works. That's the promise of his coming. Nothing, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. That word is as sure as the dawn. Hosea chapter 6. That just came to me now. And I want us to look at verse 2. I think verses 2 and 3. Hosea. After 2 days, he will revive us. And in the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Look at verse 3. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. Give this to me in the New International Version. New International, exactly. He says, let us press on to acknowledge him as, everybody, I want you to read with it with me, as surely, turn to your neighbor, say, I want you to be fully persuaded. And I want to be fully persuaded myself. So let's say it. As surely as the sun rises, he shall appear. He will appear. It's sure. So when they say, where is the promise of his coming? That's your answer. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. Watch what he says. And he will come to us like the winter rains and like the spring rains that water the earth. Go back to King James, because all this winter and spring, we're not used to it. This is what we evangelical Pentecostal guys are used to, latter and former rain. He's going to come to us as the latter and the former rain together. We saw that in Joel. I preached that during the all-night service, watch-night service. We've had an outpouring of Pentecost, which happened on the day of Pentecost. But in this generation, there's going to be another outpouring. And this one will be former and latter rain together. And you know, I shared this during the watch night service, and I want to use it to encourage us here again today. Twice in that portion of scripture, it's in Joel chapter 2, I believe verse 23, somewhere in there. And you know, put it on the screen. And he, because God knew the conditions under which we will be living. He knew what the conditions of the end time will be. And he also knew that there will be some kind of delay, or it will not happen maybe exactly when we expect it to happen. So in order to encourage us, writing from through Joel by the Holy Spirit hundreds of years before it even came to pass, thousands in fact, before it came to pass, he said, and my people will never be ashamed. And my people will never be ashamed. Ah, Ojo Nitiwao. That's saints in our language. You know what he said? In the book of Romans, because God knew the conditions under which we believe in. He says, and hope maketh not ashamed. What is that hope? Christ in you, the hope of God. All this perfection, glory that we are shouting, we're not going to be ashamed.
Amen.
So when they ask you, where is the promise of his coming? That's your answer. Inside and inside the word. Hallelujah. He said it twice. He said, my people shall not be. Give me that Joel. Oh, glory to God. Joel chapter 2. No, move back. Yes. Look, move to verse 24 first, or 23. Then we'll jump there. 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion. If you're a child of Zion, give me a wave offering. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord your God. There's a definite promise. He had given you the former rain moderately. How many people have the former rain? That's holy, you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. He's given us that one. He said, and he will cause. So this is something that is going to happen. He will cause. This is second outpouring. To come down for you the rain, the former and the latter rain in the first one. You're going to have a double portion. The world hasn't seen anything like it. It's imminent. I don't know the day or the hour, but God sent me to tell you and tell the church and tell the world who are asking, where is their God? And those who are saying, don't mind him. Where is the promise of his coming? Every day, he comes more inside me. It does not yet appear what we shall be. Oh, glory to God. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and then they will see him in us as he is. That's a paraphrase, but that's the word of God. And they shall see him in us as he is. And you know what? The whole world, something is going to happen. The Bible says, the Lord is risen in his holy temple, let all the earth be. Every skeptic mouth will be shut. See, there are people deep inside their hearts. They say, scoffers. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers, even in our own time, E.W. Kenyon is dead. Kenneth Hagin is dead. Pa Elton is dead. Old Swimigus is dead. John G. Lake is dead. All the fathers are fallen asleep. None of them. Don't mind them. It's not going to happen. God will shut their mouths. For heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not pass away. And that's the message that the Lord has asked me to come and share with us this afternoon, to encourage us. The heavens have received him unto the restitution of all things. Now, two scriptures, or sets of scripture, and I close. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. This particular scripture in Hebrews is prophetic, like all scripture, because Paul is talking about something very specific here. Even though this scripture has general application for when you are believing God for anything. You're believing God for a husband or a wife or a car or a job or the fruit of the womb. It applies to it. But that's, if you read the prophetic context, he's actually talking about this, his coming. Read it. Cast not away. Oh, no, it's not good in the King James. The King James is good, but, you know, let's go to the Amplified. Do not therefore, that's the purpose of this prophetic message, fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great, everybody shout that word. And the next one, what are we believing God for? The glory. A great and what? The compensation of reward is the glory. A great and what? Glorious compensation of reward. It means this scripture implies that there will be a temptation to fling away your confidence. It hasn't happened yet. Maybe it's not going to happen. You know, this same thing I'm talking about happened to David. God had told many years earlier, God told David he was going to become king and sent Samuel to his dad's house and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. He went, he killed Goliath, joined Saul's army. Nothing happened. Then Saul got jealous of him and tried to kill him. He started running all over the whole place. You know what David says? Keep your in Hebrews here. David, even though he had a prophetic word, God spoke this thing to me. I shared a little bit of it on Christmas Day for the brethren who were at our house. You know, it just came by the Spirit as I was talking. You know, and as I'm preaching now, it has come again. You know, David, don't forget this. David had a direct prophetic word from Samuel that he was going to be king. Then on top of that, David had some landmark victories. He killed the lion. He killed the bear. He killed Goliath. Hello? Delivered Israel. And we've had some, to the glory of God, my wife and I and Pastor Quake, all of us in this ministry, we've had some landmark victories over these last many years. Great things that God has done for us. You understand? So it's like the lion, the bear, Goliath. But that kingship still hadn't come to pass. He had all the other things. He had killed Goliath and all that. And here was Saul trying to kill him up and down. So one day, David did this thing. And the God is telling us not to do it. He flung away his fearless confidence. And said, one day Saul will get me. And he will kill me. He said, so let me run to the land of the Philistines. That's how he went to Ziklag. And he just really, David had got to the end of his tether. He just went, this thing, maybe it will never happen, you know. So let me just go to Ziklag. Let me just go to the land of the Philistines. Saul will stop chasing me. And, you know, it was while he was at Ziklag, the God who watches over his word to perform it caused the Philistines to come in to battle against Saul. Saul and Jonathan and the other boys were killed. You know, then the news came to David in Ziklag. And then David now came back, and then he was anointed king. First of all, in Hebron, God's word came to pass when it seemed as if it would never come to pass. It's coming to pass. I said it's coming to pass. Hallelujah. So don't fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. Verse 36. Keep staying the Amplified. For you have need. Oh, turn to your neighbor and say, we have a need, oh. It's not a need for money now. Hallelujah. You have need of steadfast, say it out loud, patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the what? Full what is promised. Give the Lord a clap offering. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to enjoy this coming of the Lord to the full. I'm going to carry this glory to the full. That's why I say you have to go into the word. So anytime you're being distracted, go back to the word. But we're not done yet. Next verse, verse 37. For still a little while, a very little while, the coming one. Now, that's why this is not just a promise for healing, or a promise for prosperity, or a promise for a life partner, or a promise for the fruit of the womb. The application of the principle is for all of those things. But the specific thing Paul was writing about by the Holy Spirit, this promise he was talking about, that you should not fling away your confidence, was the promise of his coming. That's why it says, for yet a little while. And still a little while, the coming one will come and he will not delay. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's coming. He's on the way. Say, he's on the way. He will not delay. Hallelujah. He that shall come will come. He has said it. The same little while, it reminds of that scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, after you have suffered a while, then he will establish, strengthen and settle you. It's the coming. Look at the stages of his coming. He will establish, he will strengthen. You understand? He will perfect and he will settle you. You know, when this glory comes, you know what it's going to do? It's going to settle everything. It's a major game changer. It's not only going to settle things for us, it's going to settle things for the world. It's going to settle. There are so many things that are hanging in the air now. Politically, economically, you know, socially, you know, in every realm of human endeavor. Even those of us who are in the academics, even in things like physics and engineering, you know, I was listening to somebody yesterday, a guy, you know, from MIT, you know, and he was giving a talk in Davos, in Switzerland, where they do all this economic and all of that. And he was talking about, you know, research, you know, in some of the areas I'm involved in, you know, where we're using computers to simulate things like solar cells and all of that. And he was talking about the importance of simulation. I'm just saying this here. And he said this. This is what reminded me of it. You know, he's a professor from MIT. He said that today, as I speak, we have an energy problem on the earth. We don't have sufficient energy. Fossil fuels are creating the, you know, so-called carbon monoxide that's causing the greenhouse effect and all of that. He said, but there are some of us who are working assiduously right now, you know, doing, which is the same area I'm working in. You know, we're trying to find, you know, solar cells that will have efficiencies over 25%, 25%. He said, if we can get this and get it in commercial value at a cheap level, he said it would be a game changer. He said we will no longer be having the conversation about energy. I was sharing with my wife yesterday. I said, can you imagine having a car? And when you paint it, the paint is a solar cell. So when you drive it into the sun, it charges. Imagine these windows and the painting of this building. And I just paint the building and I paint the walls. And once energy from the sun is incident on the wall, it creates energy that is stored for the building. You don't need NEPA anymore. Sorry, Brother Yelami. Complete game changer. We're looking at it just ahead. And you know what? It is only God who knows the secret that is inside the atoms and the molecules and the particular configurations that we can put them in that will be affordable, that will not be toxic, and that can give us this kind of effect. This glory will bring it. It will be a major game changer. Don't cast away your fearless confidence. I got to close. Habakkuk. I don't know if I've helped anybody here. Habakkuk. And let's look at chapter 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Honey, Pastor G, you know, I was just, my mind, as I was just talking now, my mind just went back in a flash to over about 40 years ago. The year is 1977. I'm an undergraduate student in University of Ibadan here. I'm walking between Salt, I was in Sultanbelo Hall. It's about 10 o'clock at night. I'm walking between Sultanbelo Hall and the computer center. I'm trying to program the computer to do something, some complicated set of differential equations and some terrible stuff. So I am thinking. As I'm thinking on my program, I'm thinking, I'm going through the program in my mind. I have submitted. In those days, there was no laptop. These kind of little computers. Everything was big. And we used to punch every line is one card. Every line. Sometimes I'll have a stack of cards, 300 cards. I'm carrying it. And in my mind, I'm going through my cards. Line 1, line 2, line 3, line 4, line 5, line 7, 8, and oh my God. I didn't put a comma somewhere. I'm going back to the computer center so that I will take that card out. Then I will type on the teletype and correct that error, because I know by the time they bring it out tomorrow morning, It will give me what is called a syntax error. Then in my mind, this is a true story, I say, God. I didn't know God like I know God now. But you know how an unbeliever, how we all, you know, when an unbeliever is frustrated, we just say, God. But not know, you know, can they invent a computer that I can use in my room? That I don't have to be coming to this computer center every day, and every little mistake I have to type another card. Oh God. And I just left the thought. God heard that thought. Fast forward to 40 years later, today, that computer exists. What I just told you about solar cells now, your mind says, can that be? you will see it. It was just as impossible then to believe that we will have the kind of computers and cell phone. This iPad is more powerful than the computer the whole of University of Ibadan was using 40 years ago. A game changer. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Habakkuk chapter 2. I don't know if I've helped anybody. Habakkuk. Someone say, where's that in the Bible? It's in the Old Testament. And I want us to look at it in three translations, and I'm going to close on this. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Verse 3 is really my punchline. For the vision, this is the King James now, is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry. This thing is too precious not to be able to wait for. If I've waited 37 years, I can wait another few months or a year, whatever it's going to take. It's worth waiting for. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. This is the same place Paul was quoting from in Hebrews chapter 10. Now, go look at this in the Amplified, and then I'll look at it in Message, and I'll close. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens to the end fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come. Watch this. It will not be behind on not your appointed day, its appointed day. I'm going to repeat that. It will not be behind on its own appointed day. Its appointed day may not be your own appointed day. The appointed day for the Lord Jesus Christ's manifestation was the wedding at Cana of Galilee. It was not Jesus' appointed day. Because when his mother first told him, he said, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. But his hour had come. Message. The vision, the message, is a witness pointing to what is coming. It aches. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is more eager for this glory than you and I. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait. And it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time. Let us pray. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Where is the promise of his coming? That's your answer. In you and in the word. Anytime you want to look at, don't get distracted. Look inside and look at the word. And keep waiting actively until it, he said, it will surely come. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Talk to God. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't cast it away. He that will come will come. It's going to come. I'm encouraged when I look back and I look inside and I see Christ coming in me. I'm not a reprobate. I examine myself. I know of myself, Christ is in me. And I know he's more in me now than he was last year. In fact, this year I got an upgrade. I don't know about you. Glory to God. You know, I got an upgrade in patience. I've got an upgrade in kindness. I've got an upgrade in gentleness. I've got an upgrade in goodness. I've got an upgrade in self-control. Some people are upgrading with me. Praise the Lord. That's Christ in you. It's Christ in you. So when the devil said it's not happening, he said it's happening. I can see it inside. Glory be to God. So the kingdom of God does not come with us a vision. Says the kingdom of God is within you. So stop looking out of the, start looking inside. When every time you look inside and you see an increase in the kingdom, you know it's coming. Yes, hallelujah. Talk to God. Where is the promise of his coming? I have made you too small
in my eyes, oh Lord.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
And I have believed in a lie.
And I have believed in a lie.
That you were unable.
That you were unable to help.
I have made you too small
in mine eyes.
symbolic of your mind, but put it there. Raise your other hand to God. You need your eyes to be enlightened. You need more light. I know you have light there, but you need a far greater intensity of light upon your eyes so you can see His coming in you. That way you will not cast away your fearless confidence. Oh, brethren, He's coming. I said He's coming. I said He's coming. As surely as the sun rises, it's a certainty. Raise that hand.
Oh Lord, my eyes are on You. Be magnified.
Yes, Lord. Say, Father, I confess our sins, especially the sin of unbelief and discouragement as it concerns Your coming in Your perfection and in Your glory, in Your church, in me, in this hour. I receive cleansing by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Oh God. Oh God, oh God, help open my eyes. Let me see as You're coming in me every day. Help me see Christ is in me and He's increasing in me daily. And that will encourage me, Lord, to know that the promise of His coming is already inside me. That inside me, the dominion of God, the kingdom of God, the dominion of righteousness, the dominion of peace, the dominion of joy is already taking place inside me. And so I know, because I can see that inside me, I know that as surely as the sun arises, He will appear in His glory for all the earth to see. Oh God, have mercy on me to be faithful. Have mercy on me to continue to wait actively by praying in the Spirit and walking in love and not casting away my confidence. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Have mercy on me to be faithful, to continue to wait until You appear. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lombridis, Tolomosh, Zephri, Ra, Tufrinengaras, Lupriketuros, Shenekaras. In Jesus' name, Mamika. Join us, somebody. We're going to pray for our healing, we're going to pray for our miracles, and then we're going to take the benediction. Just join us with somebody. Father, we confess our sins, so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. I will pray and then we'll all pray in the Spirit. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for everyone on the sound of my voice. Those who are here, those who are watching on television or YouTube or whatever other means. Lord God, and I release healing power. This word that has gone forth will heal you. The Bible says He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Not only will it heal you, it will deliver you from destruction. A thousand will fall at your right hand, 10,000, but it will not come near you. You will not be destroyed. In this end time, through the ministry of this word, God will preserve you in the name of Jesus. And God will also meet your need. In the name of Jesus, I send forth the ministry spirits to go forth and supply the needs of the people, to encourage them. In the name of Jesus. Nekatoloma kardolomos. Lipiti tufridi garamashai. Yehio! Yeho! Labrakatoloma toloma goros. Nombrakoma toloma tufridu frishi. In Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to him and say, He's coming in you. Don't cast away your confidence. God bless you. Have a great week.